Okay, again, Erev Shabbos, everybody. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh, Erev Shabbos Learning. I hope everybody is well. I see that Esty is joining us all the way from Eretz Yisrael. Welcome. 4 o'clock in Eretz Yisrael. So we wish you a wonderful Shabbos, which will come in sooner for you than it will for us. What a way to go into Shabbos, and it should be a schus for you and our whole class that we have you joining us live from Eretz Yisrael. And I thank our sponsor very, very much, who wishes to remain anonymous, her and her family, Tisku the Mitzos, or the Maisim Tovim. May the schus of these Divrei Torah bring you many Shabbosos full of Nachas, the Shechina in your home, good health, and only an Aliyah and Aliyah in Bechol Ma'asecha. Okay, thank you so much. So let us get straight into our learning. So this week is Parshas Yisro. So Parshas Yisro is the Aseres HaDibros and the giving of the Torah. And of course, with the giving of the Torah in Parshas Yisro, in Parak Chof, Pasuk Ches, we have the famous Zachar Es Yom HaShabbos Lekadcho. So what I'm going to do is begin by, what I want to say also before we get to the piece we're going to be learning today is that where we are up to in the Sefer, Rav Shimshon Pinkas, is in Yanei Mishkan. If you recall, what we're going through is this whole chapter is called the sanctity of Shabbos and the Beis Hamikdash. So there are parallels between Shabbos Kodesh and the Mishkan / Beis Hamikdash. And what do we have? Forgiveness of sin. One aspect of the Mishkan was atonement for sin. Shabbos is atonement for sin. The priestly garments, the Sefer, I'm quoting these sections in Rav Pinkas' Sefer, the priestly garments, there were the Big Day Kahuna, we have Shabbos clothing. There was the menorah, we have the Shabbos lech. There was bathing, the kiyar, the mikvah. We bathe in honor of Shabbos. They had the shulchan. We have the shulchan with lacham apanim. We have the lacham apanim. We have the shtei lacham, the mishnah, lacham mishnah. And we have the shulchan as well. Next section is eating from karbanos. So you see that there are many, many parallels between the Mishkan / Beis Hamikdash and Shabbos, which is what Rav Pinkas is going through in this chapter. And now what I want to do is screen share with you and show you how in the book of Shemos, actually, what you have is a great focus on Inyanei Shabbos. It even begins in Bishalach before we get to Yisro. So I'm going to screen share with you, and we're going to look at a number of parshios in succession where Shabbos appears. Okay, you should see on my screen that I am in Shemos Perek Tesvav. Yes? Okay, fine. So we're in Shemos Perek Tesvav, which is Parshas Bishalach. And after Kriyas Yamsuf, and after the Shira of the Men, and Miriam's Shira, the Bnei Yisrael journey, they come to Marah, they can't drink the water, it's bitter, Moshe puts in a stick, it becomes sweet. And the Pasuk says in Shemos Tesvav, so this is in Bishalach, even before we get to Matan Torah. Tesvav Chavhei, Vayitzak al Hashem, Vayureo Hashem Eitz, Vayishalech al Hamayim, Vayimtiku Hamayim, Sham Sam Lechoku Mishpat, Visham Nisam. So what happened was the people are complaining to Moshe that they don't have water. What will we drink? He calls out to Hashem. Hashem shows him a stick, a tree. He throws it into the water. The water becomes sweet. Both the tree and the water are metaphors for Torah. Eitz Chaim hi lemechazikim ba, says the Pasuk of Mishlei, is a tree of life for all who hold on to her. Furthermore, the Gemara tells us, Ein Maim ela Torah. The Torah is water. Vodazar 5b. So these are both metaphors for Torah. So what makes life sweet when it's bitter is Torah. Then the Pasuk says, Sham sam lechoku mishpat v'sham nisar. So I know there's no Rashi on the screen, but if you look at Rashi, Rashi says they got a number of mitzvos. Which mitzvos were given to them at Marah? Paraduma / kibud avayim, depending if Rashi will pay out for chaf aleph, okay, paraduma or kibud avayim, dinin, monetary laws, and Shabbos. One of the mitzvos we got in Bashach was Shabbos. And then Maimara. And then when you come to the next chapter in Bashalach, which is Perek Tazayin, the whole thing is about the man, okay? And Vayihi b'yom hashishi v'hechinu eis asher yaviu v'haya mishnah al asher yilketu yom yom. So then we come to Bishalach Perek Tazvav. After Mara, the man falls down for the first time. But when the man falls down for the first time, we learn more about Shabbos actually than about the man. And it was on the sixth day they prepared what they brought, and they had double over what they gathered each day. So we have the concept of lacha mishnah in last week's parsha by the man. Furthermore, we have the mitzvah de'oraisa of shalosh seudo. I'm just looking for the pasuk for you. It's all about Shabbos. Ichlu hayam ki Shabbos hayam l'Hashem hayam lom tum tu besada. Sheishes yamim til katu b'yam ashvi Shabbos lo yeba v'yi b'yam ashvi yatsu min am lo kov v'lo matzu. So the whole thing about the man really teaches about Shabbos. But this pasuk here, Perek Tes Zayin, pasuk Chav Hei, v'yomer Moshe ichlu hu hayam ki Shabbos hayam l'Hashem hayam lo tum tu besada. It uses the word hayam three times. Moshe says, eat it today. today is Shabbos to Hashem. Today you will not find man in the field. So the Chazal say, it says Hayom three times to teach you that on Shabbos you need to have Shalosh Seudos. So in Bashalach, Perek Tezvav Baimara, Sham Sam Lechok Mishvav Sham Lisao, they were given the command of Shabbos. And then we move on, the man falls down for the first time, a month after they left Egypt, when their leftovers ran out from Egypt, the man falls. We learn so much about Shabbos, we learn about Lechem Mishla from Shabbos, we learn about preparing before Shabbos for Shabbos, we learn about not gathering, i.e. not working on Shabbos. Furthermore, we learn about the mitzvah d'oraisa of Shalosh Seudos, that a person has to have three meals on Shabbos, Ichlu Hayom, Ki Shabbos Hayom Lashem Hayom Lotim Tu Besada, the Raisa, to have three meals, Shalosh Seudos, on Shabbos. So you should just be aware, Seudas Lishis is not like really an optional meal. It is not optional. It's hard in the winter. The days are getting longer. Sometimes people are not hungry. They don't want to wash three times. You should just be aware that here we have the mitzvah d'oraisa of having three meals, washing three times for Shalosh Seudos on Shabbos. And interestingly, it was either last year or the year before, I asked Rabbi Shai Schechter, by Shalosh Seudos, can you just wash or do you need to have Lechem Mishnah? Again, you ask your own rabbi. When I say what I'm told, I always say ask your own rav. Rabbi Schechter told me you should have Lechem Mishnah by Shalosh Seudos, not only to wash, but you should have Lechem Mishnah by Shalosh Seudos. So I try to be very makbid on that. Sometimes I'm in a situation, rarely, I'm in a situation where I don't have Lechem Mishnah, so I still wash. But Rabbi Schechter said, no, even by Shalosh Seudos, you should have Lechem Mishnah. So we see already in Bishalach, before we even came to Matan Torah, we have in Yanei Shabbos. And now this week, Sedra, we come to Matan Torah, by Deber Elohim is called Vayim Eila Lemur. Elohim spoke all these things, saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Lo Yelecha Lemur Chayra Parai, Lo Tis Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, Now we come to the Seres HaDibros. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For 6 days you shall work. You should do all of your work. We already saw this by the Mon. For 6 days you shall gather. On the seventh day you should cease. On the seventh day it is a cessation to Hashem your God. You should not do any work. You and your sons and your daughters and your servants and your manservants, maidservants, and all of your animals that are in your gates. Because why? Because in 6 days Hashem made the heavens and the earth, the seas, then all that is in it. And he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, God blessed the seventh day, Vayikadashayu. So, Bishalach, Mara, Man, Shabbos. Yisro, Asaras HaDibros, Shabbos. Moving forward, the next parsha is Mishpatim. Look at this. Mishpatim and Yisro together make up the parshas of Matan Torah. Yisro is like the fire and lights, the sound and light show. And Mishpatim is the everyday how you live your life as a Jew. Mishpatim, Perachav Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, Sheishas Yam Taseh Masach, Uvayam Hashvi, Tishbos. For 6 days you should do your work, and on the seventh day you shall cease. Laman yanuach sharcha v'chamorecha v'inafesh ben amascha v'hagir. Why should you cease? So that your animals should rest, your ox and your donkey, and the soul, and the restoration of the soul for your worker and the convert. So you see that Shabbos is a recurring theme in the book of Shmos. Actually, of Salvechik in the Chumash, which is on my bookshelf, not in front of me, quotes back in Parshas Shmos, a Midrash that says that the Jews had scrolls, and they were scrolls of Bereishis that they would read from in Egypt on Shabbos. One second, I'm going to find it for you fast. Here we go. One second. The Midrash Shmos Rabbah 562 indicates that every Shabbos, the enslaved Israelites would read from scrolls which foretold that they would be redeemed. Even during their servitude, they believed in the ultimate redemption and read from these scrolls. That's one place in the Midrash. Furthermore, Midrash Yalkut Shimoni tells us many Jews in Egypt had scrolls. Here, Salvechik says, probably consisting of Bereishis, and every Shabbos they would read these scrolls. Therefore, the redemption did not start with Moshe. The Jewish belief in the promise of redemption was nurtured by their reading of these scrolls. So in Egypt, on Shabbos, they would read from these scrolls, Bereishis. How does Bereishis end? It told of their redemption. What does Yosef say? Pakod yivkod elokim eschem. These scrolls help them maintain their unique identity. The Israelites always considered themselves as if they just entered Egypt and if they were about to always leave Egypt. When did they read the scrolls of redemption? On Shabbos. So that's all the way back when we are in Shibud Mitzrayim still. And then we leave Egypt, Bishalach, Mara, Shabbos. Man Shabbos. Yisro Aseres HaDibros Shabbos. Mishpatim, the laws of how to live everyday life, a civilized society, a Jewish society. Sheishas Yam Tasem Masechel V'yam Hashvi Tishbos. Shabbos. After Mishpatim, we come to Inyanei Mishkan, which is where Pinchas is teaching us all the parallels between Mishkan and Shabbos. Truma Tetzava, and then we come to Kitisa. So Truma Tetzava are Melachas HaMishkan, construction, Kalim, Big Day Kahuna, and then we come to the beginning of Kitisa in Perek Lamed Aleph. And what do we have? Here we go. Va'ata taber el b'nei Yisrael lemer ach eshabsosei tishmaru. And speak to the children of Israel, saying, this is after we've been introduced to Mishkan, Truma Tetzava, beginning of Kitisa, which deals with the Kiyar and the Ketoras, and speak to the children of Israel, saying, Ach, Eshabsosai Tishmaru. So in the context of Mishkan, we have Shabbos, Ki osi binu v'nechem, rak, only, ach, my Sabbath you shall guard. It is a sign between me and between you for generations to know Hashem, who sanctifies you. Ushmar, to mess Shabbos, is in the context of Mishkan, and who shall guard the Sabbath, because it is holy. One who profanes the Sabbath shall be put to death, and anyone who does work shall be cut off. That's all. Sheishas yamim yasem malacha, ubayam ashvi, Shabbat, Shabbaton, kodesh Hashem. First of all, something very important to stress, which is something that I stress all the time, is that the Torah does not waste words. The Torah does not waste ink. It's not like God had extra ink, so he decides to write extra. Look at the focus of Shabbos in the book of Shemos. The book of Shemos, the appellation for Shemos is known as Sefer HaGu'ula. Bereishis is Sefer HaYetzira, Sefer HaYashar, Sefer HaSimanim, Vayikra is Torah's Kohanim, Bamidbar is Sefer HaPekudim, Devarim is Mishnah Torah, and Shemos is known as Sefer HaGu'ula. What brings redemption? What kind of much of a stress? All the way back from when we were in Egypt, the Medrash says we are already reading scrolls on Shabbos. Then we left Egypt and we come to B'Shalach, Shabbos. Man, Shabbos. Matan Torah, Shabbos. Mishpatim, laws how to live like a Jew, Shabbos. I'm going to introduce you to Mishkan. Ach, Eshabsosai Tishmoru. I'm telling you about Mishkan, but what's Ach? Shabbos, it takes primary preference. Mishkan does not supersede Shabbos. V'shamu b'nei Yisrael as haShabbos, so asos as haShabbos l'dorasam, bris olam, beinu ve'v'nei Yisrael osi l'olam. Of course, these words should be very familiar to you. It's the end of Perek Lamed Aleph, Kitisa, while we make Kiddush, and the b'nei Yisrael guarded the Sabbath, to do the Sabbath for generations, an eternal covenant between me and between the children of Israel, osi l'olam. It is an eternal sign forever, because in 6 days Hashem made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, Shavat, he ceased and he rested. Okay, that's Kitisha. And it doesn't end. What comes after Kitisha? Truma Tetzava Kitisha, Vayakel. Let's look. Perek Lamed Hey. Lamed Hey. Oh, Vayakel Moshe's Ko Adas B'nei Yisrael. Now they're about to construct the Mishkan. Okay, Truma Tetzava Kitisha are the instructions. Everything that should be built. Vayakel Pekudei are implementation of the instructions. So after you get all the instructions of Mishkan, Truma Tetzava Kitisha, Hashem says, don't forget Shabbos. And now you come to Vayakel Pekudei. We're going to build the Mishkan. What does the Torah say? Vayakel Moshe is called Adas B'nei Yisrael. Vayomer Lehem. Moshe gathered the entire assembly of the children of Israel, and he said to them, these are the matters that Hashem commanded in order to, you should do them. Sheishis Yamim Taseh Melacha. For 6 days you shall do work, on the seventh day is holy, a Sabbath of Sabbaths for God. Anyone who does work shall be put to death. Should not kindle a fire in all of your dwelling places on the day of Shabbos. I just thought of something interesting. Not kindle fire in all your dwelling places on Shabbos. But look at the shows of Moshe Voseichem. Shabbos. Do you see? Yeah, I never noticed that before. As many times I've quoted this pasuk, and Chazal say here, it means also you should not have anger in all your dwelling places on the day of Sabbath. Ace refers also to anger. That is extremely interesting. You shall not transgress, Sivaru Avera, you shall not transgress, you shall not light, you shall not kindle fire in all of your dwelling places on the day of Sabbath, but the root of all your dwelling places is Shabbos. So the essence of your dwelling is to keep Shabbos. Wow. What gives your dwelling place security, sanctity, longevity, eternity, is Shabbos. The root word of Moshe Vaseichem is Shabbos. I mean, it's so obvious when you see it, but I never saw it before. Okay. So Rav Pinkas is speaking about the connection between all the elements of Mishkan and Shabbos. And we see that the Torah itself connects Mishkan and Shabbos, both in Kitisha, at the end of all the instructions about Mishkan, we're told about Shabbos, and in Vayakal Pekudei, before we begin Malachas HaMishkan, the actual Malacha, we're told about Shabbos. Furthermore, Shabbos is a running theme through the book of Shemos, like we have just demonstrated, not only in Parshas Yisro, when I get the Dibros, Zachoros Yom HaShabbos HaKadosho, then in Veschan and Shamash Yom HaShabbos HaKadosho, not only is it a theme in Yisro, on one of the Aseres HaDibros, but it is a major theme that runs through the book of Shemos, as we have just proven, not only for the Pshat, we quoted Rashi, by Bishach Sham Sam Lechok Mishpat, we quoted the Medrash, Yalkut Shimoni, and Medrash Rabbah, that says the Jews read scrolls in Egypt on Shabbos. And finally, we had a beautiful idea, which is B'chol Moshvoseichem B'yom HaShabbos, what gives validity, power, eternity to your Moshvoseichem, is the idea of Shabbos. So, I want to quote from Rabbi Shmuel Golden in his Unlocking the Torah text. Okay, and the essay is called, the piece is called, understand, I'm sorry, I see my father-in-law's joining us, and I didn't realize, thank you, good morning, Abba Sonai, last night I had Ima in Shir, and this morning I had my father-in-law in Shir, Baruch Hashem. Okay, my in-laws are exceptional in-laws, not only for everything else they do, but we also learn together, it's a big schos. Okay, Baruch Hashem. So, Shabbos Mishkan, which is what we're focusing on with Rav Shimshon Pinkas, what do we learn from the juxtaposition of all these days? Again, Pinkas, last time we spoke about the table. Oh, I wanted to tell you something. Someone emailed me. This is so interesting. We spoke about last time, if you remember, Zmiros. So Malki Shulton listened to the Shir online on YU Torah. Listen to this. She reached out to me 2 weeks ago. I meant to tell you this. Okay, last time we spoke about Zmiros. And the time before we spoke about Zmiros. Rabbi Daniel Gladstein. Shabbos is an acronym for Shira Bo... Shira Bo Tomar, you should sing Zmiros on Shabbos. We spoke all about it last time. Okay, so she emails me, Malki Sultan, she lives in Lakewood. I just finished listening to your Erev Shabbos Shir. I loved it, and I wanted to add a little bit of spice to it. I am friends with a group of wonderful women who grew up in the Carpathian Mountains, and they came to the U.S., some as married women. All of them were from back home, which is unbelievable when you realize they lived under communism and there were no Beis Yaakovs. Anyway, one of the women told me when she moved to America, she was amazed when she heard people sing Zmiros out loud with gusto. She told me where they grew up in the Carpathian Mountains, they were moser nefesh to sing Zmiros in the closet, underlined, on Shabbos, so nobody could hear them. I thought you would appreciate how incredible this is in light of what you taught. So we learned last time, Sefer Chassidim writes that actually singing Zmiros on Shabbos is a mitzvah d'oraisa, if you recall. It goes all the way back to Bereishis, Vayichu L'shamayim Eretz V'chatz V'am. The earth was finished, but the Zohar says it refers to the tendons of a person, the mouth, the bones, the sinews. We should sing Zmiros. So imagine this. So when she came to the U.S., she was astonished that people actually sing Zmiros out loud with gusto. When they grew up in the Carpathian Mountains under communism, their moser nefesh, they would go into the closet to sing Zmiros so nobody could hear them. So what Rav Pinkas is speaking about is all the connections and lessons that we learn from Mishkan about Shabbos. So Rabbi Shmuel Golden writes as follows. What is the connection between Shabbos and Mishkan, which is really the culmination of the book of Shemos? Shemos ends, this whole journey through Shemos, Sefer HaGeula. We've already said that Geula we see comes through the observance of Shmira Shabbos. It has to be because Shabbos is a theme through running through the entire Shemos. Mamash, the entire Sefer Shemos is about Shabbos. And Sefer Shemos is Sefer HaGeula. So Shabbos brings you Geula. Okay. Rashi teaches us in the beginning of Vayakal, which is the last passage we looked at, Shemos Lamed Hey, Moshe prefaced the commands concerning the work of Mishkan with a warning about Shabbos. Why does Vayakal, Perek Lamed Hey, begin with Shabbos, if you're about to tell me all about the Mishkan, says Rashi, to tell you that the work of Mishkan does not supersede Shabbos. So Mishkan is very, very important. But when you're coming to build the Mishkan, you have to know that Shabbos Shabbos must still be observed even though you're building Mishkan. And therefore, when Moshe comes to tell him about Mishkan and Vayakon Pekudei, what you should actually do, he says, wait, Shabbos comes first, Mishkan comes after. Says Rabbi Shmuel Golden, the halachic decision, priority, thank you, the halachic decision granting Shabbos supremacy over the sanctuary is far more reaching than it may seem. It plays a major role in the legal definition of Shabbos observance itself. So it's not only teaching you that Shabbos is docha Mishkan and Mishkan is not docha Shabbos. Rather, what you learn from here has far-reaching effects. It plays a major role in the legal definition of Shabbos itself. We have to recognize a challenge created in the Torah text, says Rabbi Shmuel Golden. What is the challenge of Shabbos in the Torah text itself? And this is why we can't have mitzvah de oraisa without de rabbanon. We must have the Torah Shabbat Pet to clarify Torah Shabbichtav. Over and over again, the Torah prohibits the performance of malacha. When it comes to Shabbos, the Torah prohibits the performance of malacha. For example, in the Aseres Hadibros, I'm not going to take you back to the screen share, but I'm just going to quote it for you. I have my Sefer Shemot sitting right here. Zachar Shem HaShabbos Kacho, this week's Parasha Yisro. Sheishus Yam Tavod, Vasisa Kam Lachtecha. For 6 days, you could do all your work. Vayom HaShvi Shabbat LaShem HaLokecha, Lo Tasa Kam Lachah. Ato uvincho vitecha abdecha v'amascha kiddush for Shabbos day. Comes from the Aseres Hadibros. On the seventh day, it is a Sabbath to Hashem your God. You shall not do any malacha. You, your sons, your daughters, your manservant, your maidservant, your animal, the converts in your midst. Vayanach bayom hashvi, you can't do any malacha. Over and over, the Torah prohibits malacha in regard to Shabbos. The problem, however, is, nowhere does the Torah directly define or quantify the term malacha. What are you actually not allowed to do on Shabbos? What is malacha? Okay, fine. So on the seventh day, lo tasa kol malacha. What is malacha? Doesn't tell us what malacha is. The list of activities prohibited on Shabbos is never actually cited within the text. It's like Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, v'ini semes nafsho sechem. So what does that mean? What's inui? The Chumash doesn't say, you shall not eat, you shall not drink, you shall not engage in tashmish hamita, you shall not anoint, you shall not bathe. Doesn't say you shouldn't wear leather shoes. What is v'nisim es nafsho sechem? What is the malacha from which we must cease? Now you might think it's so obvious because we all know. How do we know? Just look at the Torah text. The Torah doesn't tell you. The Chumash does not say lo sasak bo kol malacha. Oh, it doesn't tell you what to do. It doesn't say you can't do borer. It doesn't say you can't do otzah. It doesn't say you can't do shechita. It doesn't say you can't do bishul. It doesn't say you can't do tochein. What is it? The list of activities prohibited on Shabbos is never cited within the text. How do we know how to observe Shabbos? We think it's so obvious because that's how you grew up. That's how you learn. That's what the answer is when you get to ask a shayla. But actually, how do we know? Left to our own devices, with only the written text to guide us, the Torah Shebichtav, we simply would not know what tasks to refrain from on this sanctified day. Shabbos observance would be impossible because the Torah doesn't delineate what you can and cannot do. Thankfully, the oral law, Torah Baal Peh, Chazal, Rabbanan, comes to the rescue. Based upon the repeated juxtaposition of Shabbos to Mishkan in the text, which is, we learn so much from Mishkan about Shabbos. That's what Pinchas' entire chapter is called, the sanctity of Shabbos and the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a clear connection between the sanctuary and Shabbos. But because the Torah consistently repeats Shabbos in the context of Mishkan, therefore, Chazal learn out, with their Ruach HaKodesh and divine inspiration, the very definition of activities prohibited on Shabbos were the tasks connected to the construction of Mishkan. And therefore, Chazal come up with Lamites of Malachos, the 39 major categories of creative labor associated with the construction of Mishkan, which are prohibited on Shabbos. Think about it. It's such a beautiful, obvious chiddush. The Torah doesn't say, lo sasa b'kobo melacha. So what melacha am I not allowed to do? Maybe my definition of melacha is different than Hashem's definition of melacha. How do I actually know what the Torah is referring to? I don't, unless Chazal come along and tell you, oh, well, since the Torah put Shabbos next to Mishkan repeatedly, it's actually in four different places in the Chumash, therefore we learn it must be when the Torah says, Lo sa'asa b'kol malacha, parsha yeso, this week's parsha, what malacha are we talking about? The 39 av malachos that are forbidden in the Mishkan. These 39 general categories of malacha and their toldos, the derivatives, serves as the basis for the laws of Shabbos. The encounter between Shabbos and the Mishkan is far from arbitrary. It's not just stam that Hashem said, oh, you're building the Mishkan, I'm going to tell you in Ketisa about Shabbos. You're building the Mishkan, I'm going to tell you in the introduction to Vayalka about Shabbos. Integral to our understanding of Shabbos is Mishkan, not only because they had a Shulchan and we have a Shulchan, not only because they have Big Day Kuna and we have Shabbos clothing, not only because the Kohanim had the Kiyor, Parshas Kitisa, and we have to wash before Shabbos, not only because they had the Lacham Apanim and we had Lacham Mishnah, which we learn from the Man, but even more than that, the connection's even stronger. Malachas HaMishkan teaches us about Shabbos. Emerging from the intersection of these two foundations of Klal Yisrael, Mishkan and Shabbos, are the laws which define Shabbos observance itself. So that's first of all, from the Mishkan, the connection between Mishkan and Shabbos, we learn what we can't do on Shabbos. What you can do to construct the Mishkan, what you must do to construct the Mishkan, Soveya, is what you may not do on Shabbos. Furthermore, on a philosophical plane, philosophically, the message which emerges from the encounter between Shabbos and the Mishkan is significant as well. So that's halachically. Halachically, you can't do tzoveya on Shabbos because they did tzoveya in the Mishkan, dyeing, coloring, in terms of the garments. Okay, they had different colors in the beautiful garments. They had different dyes. We can't do dyeing on Shabbos because they did dyeing. We can't do tochim because when they made the spices for the ketores, they had to grind them very finely, dak. So we can't do tochet, so I can't cut my salad, the onions, into teeny tiny pieces. So I learn what I can't do because of what they did. So halachically, there are tremendous ramifications between Mishkan and Shabbos. Not just their shulchan, my shulchan, their menorah, my neros, their lachem apanim, my lachem mishnah. Not only that, but the halachos of Shabbos are derived from Mishkan. So a halachic connection between Shabbos and Mishkan. Furthermore, what about philosophically between Shabbos and Mishkan? Shabbos in the sanctuary, writes Rabbi Shmuel Golden, represent two different sanctifications. All of Klal Yisrael is founded upon the idea of Kedusha. Kedushin. Kedoshim tiyu ki kadoshin yashem elokeichem. Kedusha is something that is sanctified, set aside for a certain holiness. From Shabbos and Mishkan, we learn about sanctification of time, that's Shabbos, and sanctification of space, that's Mishkan. Through the observance of Hashem's Torah, man is challenged to invest holiness into each of these domains. On the one hand, we must make time holy, and on the other hand, we must make space. I don't mean outer space, the space in which we live, the space in which we occupy this world, holy. And yet, while both of these realms are clearly significant, when a choice must be made, sanctification of time reigns supreme. If you have to have a choice between sanctification of space and sanctification of time, we learn from Shabbos and the Mishkan that sanctification of time takes precedence over the sanctification of space. Mishkan was a sanctification of a space, a finite, limited space. What happened after the Mishkan was destroyed? What happened after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? The sanctification of that space no longer exists. However, the sanctification of time through Shabbos is eternal. And that's why in Tavshin Pei Gimel, we are celebrating Shabbos, Be'ezras Hashem, later today, with the emergence of Yom HaShvi, even though we don't have sanctification of space in terms of the Mishkan / Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, Shabbos supersedes construction of the Mishkan to teach us not only halachically, the halachos of Shabbos, how to keep Shabbos, how to cut your salad, how to seed the cantaloupe, how to choose from the salad what you want and what you don't want, how to eat a piece of fish that have bones in it, if you can carry, if you can carry. Not only last week we were in Brooklyn for a Shabbos, we stayed by my in-laws, we Baruch Hashem, a beautiful Shabbos. Some of you attended my Shabbos year, my Kingsway Scholar Residence. So I realized usually when I go away for Shabbos, it's the place of an Erev. So I take my shear notes with me to wherever I'm staying. And then I carry them with me to the Shul on Shabbos. So I realize last week, wait a minute, I have to arrange to drop them off before Shabbos and make sure they're in a safe place and they're going to be ready for me for every shiur. I won't be able to review them before the shiur at the house on Shabbos because I can't carry it. Every time we left the house, we said, okay, check your pockets. Living here in Woodmere, we're not used to it. The kids for sure aren't used to it. And every time I said, I have to make sure that you have nothing, that you're not carrying anything. I have to drop off my papers before. Not only do we learn the halachic ramifications and halachas from the connection between Mishkan and Shabbos, but philosophically, we learn a hashkafic connection between Mishkan and Shabbos as well. And what is that? They both represent Kedusha. Shabbos is the ultimate Kedusha, and so is the Mishkan. That's where Hashem dwelt. Hashem rested. Kaviyachos, if such a thing were possible for Hashem to dwell amongst us. But when the sanctification of space was nullified through Churban, the sanctification of time is never nullified. Ki osihi le'olam beini uveinechem. Osihi le'olam. The Mishkan, Sas Beis HaMikdash, is not an Os La'olam. Something we daven for every day, but it's not an Os La'olam. In the words of Rabbi Soloveitchik, we have survived 2,000 years without the temple. We would not have survived 1 week without Shabbos. Not by chance, the phenomenon of Kedusha. When's the first time you have the idea of Kedusha in the Torah? The first time that we have something in the Torah is very significant. The first time a Shoresh appears always tells you something about the Shoresh. So when is the first time we have the Shoresh of Kedusha in the Chumash? You should see that I'm in Bereishis. The first time that we have the word Kadosh in the Torah. So we're going through all the, no pun intended, we're going through all the Kedushim of Shabbos. Zachar Shem Shabbos Kacho, V'Sham B'nei Sos Shabbos. Now we're coming to Kiddush of Leil Shishi. We spoke about this last time on a Kabbalistic level regarding Smiros. And the earth, and the heavens and the earth and all their hosts were finished. And Elohim finished. Look, you finished Malachas HaMishkan to observe Shabbos. Hashem finished Malachas Briyas HaOlam to commemorate Shabbos. Vayishbos Briyam Mishvi Mekom Malachto HaShasa. Vayivarech Elohim HaShem Mishvi. Vayikadish Oso. The first time. So it could be Rabbi Sachs, but Rav Soloveitchik. Oh, I don't know if it was Rabbi Sachs. Yeah, that's a famous quote. More than the Jews have kept Shabbos, Shabbos has kept the Jews. I'm not sure if it's Rabbi Sachs or someone else, but yes, it's a famous quote as well. Okay? The first time you have the Shorish of Kedusha, which is actually means set aside, not really holy, designated, Hare at Mikudeshali B'tabad Zukadas Moshe V'Yisrael. It doesn't mean you are holy to me. You are sanctified. You are designated. You are set aside for me. The first time, so what is Shabbos is set aside. A day when the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael meet. Shabbos is a day set aside for God. It's a day when we remove ourselves from the inanities of this world to meet the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vayikadesh Oso. The first time Rabbi Shmuel Golden points out, we have the concept of Kedusha in the Chumash. Is first mentioned in the context of Shabbos. It could have been in the context of anything. I don't know. It could have been in the context of the creation of Isha. Could have been in the context of the Teva. The first time Hashem introduces the idea of Kedusha to us, it's in the context of Shabbos. This is, of course, not an accident, because the first time we see an emergence of a word of Chumash is of great significance. As we have seen, the first mitzvah granted to the Jewish nation is Kiddush HaChodesh, Parshas Bo. The first mitzvah that we are given, Perek Yud Beis, Sukkim Aleph through Beis, the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael is Kiddush HaChodesh. HaChodesh is Alechem. What does it have to do with Shabbos? Kiddush HaChodesh, the first mitzvah, is about time. Kiddush HaChodesh. Sanctify time. Why the Shabbos? Vayikadesh also. Sanctify time. Both the first national mitzvah Rosh Chodesh. And what is responsible for our national survival, could you imagine? I know I can't imagine. When I say could you imagine, I actually cannot imagine. And the Carpathian Mansons, they had to be Moser Nefesh to sing Zmiros in the closet? I actually cannot imagine. What is responsible for our survival is this sanctuary in time, which is Shabbos. What is Kiddush HaChodesh? Sanctification of time. And therefore, says Rabbi Shmuel Golden, while the clear transcendence of time sanctification over space sanctification remains unexplained in the text, it is clear from the Torah text that sanctity of time, Shabbos, Kiddush HaChodesh, takes place over sanctity of space, Mishkan, a rationale may be offered. The single most precious commodity we possess in life is time. And that's another dimension of philosophically what Shabbos represents. The dimension of Kiddush HaZman. Vayikadosh Yisrael v'hazmanim. Zman is the most precious commodity we have. Our moments are limited. Each moment exists. And before we know it, that moment is gone. Our moments are limited. Each moment exists. And before we know it, the moment is gone. Like, I can't believe it's actually Shabbos Verchem Adar next week. I feel like it was just Sukkot. I'm not just saying that. It's for sure just Hanukkah. And before that, it was just Sukkot. How are we moving so quickly through the year? I was in Costco yesterday. And I saw the Klein's trail mix, which is, I know right away they carry it every year before Pesach and Shmur Matzah. I don't understand. It was just Rosh Hashanah. We fly through time. And therefore, we must invest every moment of time with tremendous Kedusha. What is a tool that teaches us how kadosh each moment of time is? Shabbos. Vayikadosh es yom ha'shvi'i. We can exist without a sanctuary in space, space HaMikdash. But we've proven that it's not ideal, it's not what we want, it's not what we daven for, but we can exist. But without that Kedushas HaZman, Vayikadosh also, Shabbos, we could not exist. Therefore, there could be no greater expression of our belief in our loyalty to God than the dedication of some of our limited moments specifically to his service, the sanctification of time, which is the dedication of time solely to our relationship with God. That's what sanctification of time means. Mm-hmm. This moment of time is only for me and you, Hashem. Shabbos is for me and you. It's one of the greatest and highest religious acts possible. The sanctification of time, which is the dedication of time solely to our relationship with God. What is Shabbos? The dedication of time solely to our relationship with God. Shabbos is not about checking WhatsApp. Shabbos is not about cooking. Shabbos is not about running to an appointment. Shabbos is not about unloading the car from your errands. Shabbos is the sanctification of time. The sanctification of time is the dedication of time solely to our relationship with God. So we have Big Day Shabbos. We welcome the Shechina. We have Zmiro Shabbos. Baruch Hashem, believe in time. We don't need to be Moser Nefesh. Let's appreciate them. We set a table for Shabbos. We have our Shulchan. This shows Hashem that we dedicate our time solely to our relationship with you. That's Kedusha Shabbos. It's one of the highest religious acts possible. It transcends other acts of sanctification. And therefore, when Moshe underscores the laws of Shabbos immediately before launching into the construction of Mishkan, he reminds the people of their priorities. As monumentally historic as Mishkan was, as overwhelmingly important as the Mishkan is over the face of history, even more precious to God is the dedication of our own moments of time to his service. And that's something Churban Beis HaMikdash cannot take away from us. And it's something we can all choose, to dedicate our time to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why we have to make Shabbos so meaningful. With Divrei Torah, with Zmiros, with Su'uda Shabbos, with learning, with Tefillah Shabbos. Because we're showing Hashem that this time is only for me and you. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, we had a Kodesh HaKadashim, where the Shekhinah dwelt. So we have to look at Shabbos as the Kodesh HaKadashim. It's a time just for us and God. Everything else in the world slips away. Furthermore, another ha'ara, another aspect of what we learn from the importance of Shabbos and Mishkan, the last pasuk we saw in Perek Lamed Hey Vayalko, if you remember, Perek Lamed Hey pasuk Gimel, you are going to remember because I stressed it, Losiv Aru Eish B'chol Moshvasechem B'yom HaShabbos. And I pointed out something that I never noticed before, which seems so obvious once you point it out. Moshvasechem is the root word Shabbos. So I said that what gives sustenance, longevity, and eternity to our dwelling places is Shabbos. It's beautiful. B'chol Moshvo Seichem. I almost never noticed it before I was speaking. Not when I was preparing either. Mamash when I was speaking. So it doesn't mean that this geographic, physical home is going to be eternal, because nothing finite is eternal. But the Moshvo Seichem of Knesset Yisrael, the transmission from one Jewish home to the next, is eternal. It's eternal due to what? What is the eternity of B'chol Moshvo Seichem due to? The root word of Meshoseichem, Shabbos. Just another reminder of how gevaldik Lashon HaKodesh is. How everything is embedded. The world is created through the Aleph Beis. She is called Isha, Kimi Ish Du Kachta Zos, 2:23-24. Rashi says the world was created with Lashon HaKodesh. So you see how everything is embedded in Lashon HaKodesh. It's unbelievable. What gives eternity to Bechol Meshoseichem? The Mishkan is not eternal. It's just not. The Beis HaMikdash is unfortunately not eternal. Bayis Shlishi will be, but Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni were. But they're called Mishkan / Mikdash. But your homes are called Moshvoseichem. How are your homes eternal if the Mishkan / Bayis HaMikdash isn't eternal? The answer to the eternity of our homes lies in the word Moshvoseichem. Shabbos gives eternity to our homes. My aunt was actually just telling me, and it's amazing that her daughter, my first cousin, who lives in Manhattan, traditional, but not what we would call religiously observant, but traditional. So her two daughters are in a Shabbos program, two little girls, my first cousin's two little daughters, three and a half, and not even one yet. And they go to some kind of music Shabbat music program in the city, and they get challah, there's challah there, and they take the preschool, the Shabbat music program arranged that the children, the Jewish children, take the challah, and they connected it with a Holocaust survivor. My aunt just told this to me 2 weeks ago, I couldn't believe it. And Margot, they take their little girl who's 3 and a half every Friday after the Shabbat music program to deliver a challah to a Holocaust survivor, Margot. So I said to my aunt, she has to take a picture. My first cousin's daughter, 3 and a half, will be able to tell her grandchildren, I saw a Holocaust survivor. I met a Holocaust survivor. And they deliver a challah to her every Erev Shabbos. What gives longevity and eternity to Bechol Moshvoseichem? Shabbos. It's in the word Moshvoseichem. So lo siv aru ish Bechol Moshvoseichem b'yom Shabbos. You may not kindle a fire. Don't transgress Shabbos Bechol Moshvoseichem. Keep Shabbos. It gives eternity to your Moshvoseichem. It's amazing. It's just amazing. Lashon HaKodesh is amazing. Like amazing. That's Rabbi Shmuel Golden. By specifically stating, we'll end with this, you shall not kindle a fire in any of your dwelling places on Shabbos, Moshe underscores the primacy of the fundamental unit, the Jewish home. Where is Shabbos to be observed? Bechol Moshvoseichem. In your home, in your dwelling places. Teach your children about Shabbos. It doesn't say you may not kindle fire in all your businesses on Shabbos. It does not say you may not kindle fire in the factory on Shabbos. It does not say you may not kindle fire in the public square on Shabbos. No, you're not allowed to kindle fire in any of those places. You're not allowed to kindle fire in the public square on Shabbos. You're not allowed to kindle fire in your factory on Shabbos. You're not allowed to kindle fire by turning on your car on Shabbos. So why doesn't the Torah say you should not kindle fire in your business place on Shabbos? Why does the Torah say you should not kindle fire b'chol moshvoseichem? Maybe the Torah should just say, lo sivaru eish b'yom Shabbos. That would make sense. So that would tell you, in any place where you are, don't kindle fire. Because it's true. You're not allowed to kindle. I'm not talking about pikuach nefesh. You're not allowed to kindle fire in any place on Shabbos. It's true. So why does the Torah make a point of saying b'chol moshvoseichem? It's not just in your habitations, in your dwelling places. You can't make a fire anywhere. So Rabbi Shmuel Golden says that the Torah wants to teach you something. As central as the sanctuary, Mishkan / Mikdash are to your experience, it will pale in comparison to your home and your role in your family. Within your home, new generations must learn of their affiliation to our people and their tradition. Observance of Shabbos is taught through example. Children will be raised deeply connected to their proud past and prepared for the challenges of the future through learning the laws of Shabbos in the home. I mean, before they had Beis Yaakov, how did women know how to keep Shabbos? Think about it. Throughout the generations, how are we still keeping Shabbos? Sarah Schneer is a relatively new revolution. I'm talking about the 1900s. So what did they do in the 1400s, the 1300s, the 1200s, the 1100s, the 900s? How did they know how to keep Shabbos? Bechol Moshvoseichem, bring Shabbos home. It's not only about your business, it's not only about the factory, it's about your home. The sanctuary is meant to inspire and teach, but the lessons it teaches us will reach their fulfillment only within your homes. Yes, the Shulchan and the Beis HaMikdash is very important, but for 2,000 years our children don't know about the Shulchan and the Beis HaMikdash. make sure they know about the shulchan at your Shabbos table. And the menorah on the Beis HaMikdash was very important. They found images of it in excavations, in etchings, in mosaics. But our children don't know about the menorah on the Beis HaMikdash, but they know about your Shabbos candles. And they don't know about the lechem upon him, the showbread, the 12 loaves that were switched every Shabbos to Kohanim ate, because that's been destroyed for 2,000 years. But make sure they sit down at the table with the lechem mishnah. So Rabbi Shai Shechter, he told me, you ask your own Rav. But Rabbi Shai Shechter says, yes, by Shal Shudas, not only should you wash, you should try and have lechem mishnah. So the Torah could just say, Perek Lamed, hey, Pasuk, am I know our time is up? Give me 1 second. 1 minute, I should say. The Torah could just say, don't kindle a fire in Shabbos, because it's true, you can't kindle a fire in Shabbos. Don't kindle a fire b'chol moshvo seichem, in any of your dwelling places. Teach your children what Shabbos means. Never believe the Mishkan to be more important than your personal observance. You shall kindle no fire in any of your dwelling places on Shabbos day. B'chol moshvo seichem, and we added on what I think is a beautiful idea, that the root of moshvo seichem is Shabbos. And you could even say that the two-letter root is bias, beis tav. Bring Shabbos into the bias. When you bring Shabbos into the bias, the sanctification of time becomes eternal. And that is the true sustenance of Am Yisrael. Parsha Zachar, if you go to Beis Knesset tomorrow and you hear the Kriya Satora, Zachar, Sama Shabbos, Lekadosho. Okay, I thank our sponsor. I'm sure you thank our sponsor as well. For the tremendous, I hope, what is a Kiddush Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, no pun intended, or maybe pun intended, to bring many Zechuyos Latova to you and your whole family, for many Kiddushas Shabbosos, and Bias Gol Tzedek, the Binyan Bayashishi, when we will have both the sanctification of time and the sanctification of space. B'mhira B'yameinu, I love Torah, I love learning with you. Thank you for joining. I wish you a Gevaldik and uplifting Shabbos Kodesh. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov, good Shabbos.